Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
On behalf of everyone, can I say, wait, what?
Yeah.
Let's go to our cockfighting insider. What's the story he claims? So I read The Athletic, and this sounds like brazen as hell, like texting people from the bullpen.
Yeah.
He's now claiming those were about cockfighting.
Well, there's a lot of...
Roosters, by the way, people understand.
Yes, rooster fighting. Yeah. Yes, yes. So there's a lot of interpretation to be had here. This comes from a Spanish language interview with a journalist who was a friend of Clase's. And then the information from that was then translated by a reporter on Twitter. And so basically, Clase's friend in the Spanish language interview, who is a journalist, said that Clase told him that he thinks the calls that were about rooster fighting were misinterpreted by the FBI as to be about gambling.
This is a fascinating defense.
Yes, I'm not sure what the words for ball and strike and rooster are in Spanish. Mm-hmm. I imagine they're not very similar, but unbelievable to read that today. I mean, I was Googling Emmanuel Clase cockfighting, you know, like looking up where articles about it. I just never thought I would Google those words.
No.
Maybe Emmanuel Clase is fighting cocks. Maybe they actually were taking dives. Maybe they were on the table.
Maybe he was still fixing
cockfighting.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Either way, it's illegal, right?
Yes. Well, that's a problem for Major League cockfighting.
Yes, I know.
So not our problem.
I know. Well, until FanDuel's.
So good news for the Guardians today, then, I guess, right? They got Stephen Vogt inexplicably Manager of the Year yesterday, and now Clase is going to come back because it was cockfighting, not fixing pitches.
Okay. Thank you for the update.
Yeah.
Didn't expect that today. No. Not on my bingo card, but I hope there's more updates. Yeah, you got how many more updates do you have today?
With you guys, I think I've got two more.
Okay, we want the latest on this story.
This developing breaking news
here on 97.1. All right, Stoney, it's time for another edition of Would You Buy? Would you buy? You've never done this, have you?
I don't think so.
But you buy lottery tickets, right?
Yes, I do, for the most part. The Mega Millions, which is now $5, I don't buy as many. In fact, the only ones I buy is with the group here that we do.
Okay, and it's $965 million.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Kang, have you gotten in on the station buy yet?
No, I have not bought the. Basically, it's insurance that in case everybody else wins. You know, so I have not. I'm just going to buy on my own.
Okay. So I don't buy, so I can't have the dreams. Mm-hmm. So I turn it over to you guys. And I will start with, so if you win.
I do have dreams. I've thought about this a lot.
Have you? Would you buy the world's most expensive car? It's a Bugatti Tourbillon. It's worth $4.6 million, and I got a picture of it right here, although it's in black and white, but that is the Bugatti Tourbillon. It's the world's most expensive car. This might have been a better one for Gator because he loves fast cars. Mm-hmm. But
fast
Stoney,
cars and fast women.
Would you buy the world's most expensive car, the Bugatti Tourbillon?
The only way I would buy that car is if I knew somebody close to me that really, really wanted it. Because I could care less.
You're not fair. Okay. Sorry. Kang, would you buy this car?
No, I would not. I mean, I'd probably buy a nice car, but not the most expensive car in the world. No need for that. Does it have enough cup holders? That's what Gator would ask.
That's
or his dad would ask, at least, right?
Yep.
Is the Apple Air CarPlay easy to put on when you get into it? That's all.
Can you connect the Bluetooth? Yes, that's Tony's big challenge.
Exactly, yes.
I would hope so. Mm-hmm. All right, next up, would you buy a cruise with Villa V Odyssey? They have an upcoming cruise scheduled for 301 days, visiting 5 continents and over 100 countries. It is a 301-day cruise. Would you buy that if you hit the Mega Millions?
No, because unless I could take everybody I wanted to be with, and even them, those people I wouldn't want to be with for 301 straight days. So the answer would be no.
Kang, would you buy this 301-day cruise?
That's 296 days too long, Doug. That's I'll go 5 days max on a cruise.
Do you know how much weight I would gain if I was on a cruise for that long?
Well, they have like exercise. Don't they have tracks?
Yes, cruises? But they have like, you know, pizza available at like 4 a.m. if you're up. I would have no control.
Okay. Good self-scout there, Stoney.
Thank you.
All right, so no and no on the world's longest cruise. Would you go on tour with your favorite artist? Like every tour stop. And let me see. Stoney's favorite
yes!
artist.
Yes!
Yes!
You mean for Stoney again?
Yeah. Bruce just did a tour of Europe, didn't he?
Yes. I've never been to Europe this
year. Okay. Would you do that? Yes, I'm not surprising at all. Kang, would you go on an entire tour with your favorite artist?
No. I'd see him a couple times in different venues, different states, maybe a different country like the Europe tour or whatever, but I couldn't go an entire tour. That's a lot. How many dates is that usually? Like, what does Springsteen do?
It depends. Well, now that he's gotten,
but he does ancient, a lot less.
It's a lot less. There's more days in between
than like a Taylor Swift tour.
That's a few months, you know, for most of them. Uh-huh. And it'll take a month or two off. And then
maybe a better question was: would you do this even if you don't hit the Mega Millions? Is it something you would do?
I wouldn't spend that much money to do it, though. But
how much would you pay to go on stage and do something like play the cowbell or something?
I don't know, for charity. I don't know.
No, you pay.
I pay. Well, I'd pay $1,000 or something like that.
$1,000?
I would to go on stage. Big deal to me. I've seen him so close.
You wouldn't pay a lot.
No. So what's the difference? No.
All right.
I don't need to go on stage.
I've seen Stoney perform live at Gatorpalooza.
That's right.
He's pretty good, man. Stoney, they'd have to pay you. You're right.
And I don't have to pay. I don't have to pay Gator.
No.
Kang, who would be the favorite artist that you would actually, if you were to even consider this?
I literally do not have one. The hologram of Michael Jackson. Like, remember, that was my artist that if I had to listen to only one artist the rest of my life.
Yeah.
No, I'm on shuffle. That's what I'm on. Shuffle an artist?
Yep. Shuffle is not.
What about you? That band that you like to see?
Roger Klein and the Peacemakers?
Yeah.
I could go on tour with them because it would be like in a van from Topeka to Wichita to El Paso. I would do that for a while.
Yeah.
They are a party band. Final thing here. Would you bid on Gordie Howe's final NHL game-worn jersey? It is up for auction. The bidding is starting at $37,000. It was a Hartford Whaler jersey that he wore during the 1979-1980 season. It has his full name on the back. It says Gordie Howe. It is the last game-worn jersey of Gordie Howe's career. $37,000 is where the bidding is starting. You just won $965 million. Would you bid on that?
Yes.
I'm not
Absolutely.
Yep.
Do you have any signed memorabilia, whether you got either for charity or anything like that?
I have a Tony Gwynn autographed poster.
That's good.
It is that my wife got for me on our honeymoon when we were in San Diego.
Awesome.
She actually contacted and got a hold of Tony Gwynn's wife.
Wow,
got it signed as a wedding gift.
That's unbelievable.
It was pretty awesome.
All right, I'll go flip. I'll do the flip side to this. What's the most obscure, worst piece of memorabilia you have? It's like signed, framed, or whatever.
I'd have to give
it's
that.
It's probably a poster signed by Tony Gwynn's wife.
I have some good stuff like signed Hasek and Yzerman and Barry, but I also have a framed signed Kevin Jones jersey.
Don't you have a helmet?
Oh, yeah, from Scott Mitchell.
Scott Mitchell.
Says to my Jewish buddy.
Yeah, but he puts Jewish in quotes.
Something, yeah.
You could have just left Jew and Dash ish, yeah. Right?
Would you bid on Gordie Howe's final game worn jersey?
Yeah, and I would win it, Stoney. What do you think about that?
Well, let's go. How much?
Head to head.
Yes. Well, you would know where to sell it to get more money.
No, that's a cool. If I had won the Mega Millions, I'd keep it. That's a really cool memorabilia. Yeah,
I know.
Okay, here's something I have that's obscure that I got. It was given to me when they were getting ready to throw it out. It is a jersey of a walk-on from the Michigan basketball team from the Fab Five era. There was a walk-on named Chris Fields, and he wore number 44.
Okay.
And they were getting rid of stuff, and I happened to be nearby, and they said, do you want this? And I said, yes. And I'm just looking it up here. He played on 93 and 94, and he made one basket in his career, it looks like.
So he's the Matt Ishbia of...
yeah, kind of. So I have Chris Fields' college jersey. For what it's worth. That is that obscure enough?
That's pretty obscure.
It's worth nothing, if that's what you're asking. You said for what it's worth, right?
His mom, Mrs. Fields' cookies are worth more.
All right, so there it is, another edition of Would You Buy? Straight ahead, got a question for Lions fans that are either planning on going to Philly or have been on the road with the team before in the past as we get ready for a huge game on Sunday night. Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson out, Stoney's in, 97.1. Hey,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of uniform releases. One is, it's been released for a while. I guess they went on sale yesterday, is the Pistons City Connect uniforms. The NBA put all those City Connect uniforms on sale, and the Pistons are wearing them tonight. Is that correct?
Yes.
I love these. I absolutely love the Pistons City Connect uniform. Apparently, the theme this year for the City Connect is to somehow have a modern version of an old look or theme. And the Pistons City Connects have... The look or theme they went back to was to the horse's head teal era.
Uh-huh.
And I think time has treated those uniforms very well. The teal, yellow, and maroon era of Piston uniforms, in the moment in time, they were not as well received as they are now.
No.
Which is bizarre. But I'm not wrong on this one, right? I mean, the horse's head Piston era uniform feels more popular in 2025 than it was when the Pistons wore them in the late 90s.
Because a lot of young kids, they didn't grow up with it. So when they saw it, they thought, oh, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Part of the problem with those Pistons jerseys back then is there was this teal revolution that started in sports, and they just seemed to copy it. That was from like the San Jose Sharks, if I remember, like the first team. And people didn't understand the whole horse's head. Well, what is piston? I mean, I know horsepower for cars,
yeah.
But it kind of was like goofy. It's people didn't like it, and plus they weren't that good. What I did love about that era, they had like alternative, like those like burgundy or whatever.
Yeah, the maroon or burgundy. Maroon, yeah, that was the better look.
They were nicer.
Well, this Piston City Connect uniform has like teal, maroon, and gold, and.
The piping, yes.
I love it.
It's really nice.
I think it looks fantastic, and I'm excited to see these things. And at some point, I would like to get some City Connect gear. I'm not a jersey guy, but it would be a t-shirt or hat with that color scheme. I don't know if it's actually black?
See, the first time I looked at it, I thought it was like really dark green.
Yeah.
But then I look at it again, and it is black.
Kang, you like these City Connect unis they're wearing tonight?
Yeah, they're awesome, I think. And if you go to the Pistons account, I think they broke down the reason for like every single thing and every single detail on there. There's a story behind everything. So actually, that part is really cool, too.
Yeah. So those uniforms, three thumbs up from us, is that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I like them a lot. So you're a hat person. So
dude.
I know you're a hat person.
I got a problem.
I know. Well, you haven't seen the Motor City. Do you have your Motor City... City Connect, whatever they call the Tigers ones.
Is that the one that just says, yeah, no, I don't. I don't like those as much.
Yeah.
The ones that look like they got run over by a truck.
Yeah. I don't like them either.
With the tire tracks on the chest. What are we doing here?
I know.
No, I'm not a fan of those, but look, I'm not mad at people who are. It didn't do it for me.
What's your most obscure hat that you have? I mean, that people would know, not like some bar or whatever like that.
Most obscure hat.
My closet, I have the shelf in my closet. It's all hats. Most of them are pretty obvious ones, but.
I used to have a Maryland Terrapins hat that they gave away during a Michigan-Maryland game that was the full crash test dummy Maryland flag look.
Oh, yeah.
That was dreadfully ugly. It was literally in the so bad it's good category. But I brought it in one time when I tried to do a hat purge. I brought in five hats and said, vote one out. And that was the one that the listeners voted out.
Okay.
But,
I have a Motor City Mustangs hat.
Do you?
Of course. Rollerball team that did a little play by play.
Sure.
A cold pizza hat.
The old TV show?
Yes. Rob Parker gave it to me.
Speaking of like kind of foodish, like I have a hat right now. It says Panini on it. I don't know if you guys know this. It's actually they make trading cards, but people think like I like the sandwiches. I'm dead serious. That people that don't collect are like, oh, what's up with the Panini hat?
That would be, you know what? That's an awesome hat to have. That would just say sandwiches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's a hat already.
Beer. By the way, the hats that the NFL coaches are now. Why do they have to wear? Do they have? Is there a league mandate that they all have to wear these new hats?
Whatever the. Like whatever the league is put like because yes. Like it was Military Appreciation Weekend, so right, they all wore the camo.
That's fine, but now they all have the same like a little black square, and it says Lions, or it's a black.
Oh,
square
the small tiny small logo.
Yeah.
No, Sony. I think it's a group chat that all the coaches are on, and they coordinate on what hats they wear.
I don't like them.
I think we propose that next week they wear hats that say sandwiches.
Oh, they'll all be for that. I think Andy Reid's been asking for that for years.
The other uniform unveil is Army's uniforms for the Army-Navy game.
Oh, they're awesome. They are awesome.
Stoney is borderline aroused in here over these uniforms. You love these things.
I think they're cool as hell. I love the font. Now, from your perspective, doing play-by-play, would that be... Well, they're the white ones with the black, so
that's
probably
easier to see. Yeah, that'd probably be easier to see those numbers than some of the numbers that I have tremendous sympathy for play-by-play.
Well, Northwestern had similar fonts for one of the...
It's kind of an old English look, isn't it?
Yeah.
How would you describe that font? Is it old English?
Gaelic or whatever they call it?
Yeah, so they're fully whited out with silver helmets, Army, and some sort of Army crest on the side of the silver helmet. It's silver, black, and white, and they're kind of sick.
Yeah.
I got to give it to them. So.
I like that one a lot.
All right, we promised we'd get to this. Lions on the road at Philly. Stoney is a Philly native, as everybody knows. Is it the least hospitable fan base to opposing fans in the country?
In professional sports?
In professional sports.
Probably, especially if you don't sit in really good seats.
Okay, so the cheap seats are more like the 600 level?
Well, it used to be, I don't know what the levels are, the Lincoln Financial, but the old Veterans Stadium. Mm-hmm. Which had known for having a jail in the underground, like
sure,
because people got so rowdy. Yeah, they were by levels. Like the top section was the 700 level, and it went way down.
Yeah,
but yeah, the biggest a-holes are usually in the cheapest seats in Philly.
Okay, is there any advice you have for Lions fans making the trek to Philly?
Don't wear any Lions gear.
Just don't even wear the gear.
Maybe a hat, like a
Well, not wearing any gear means you're not identifiable, and if you wear a hat, you're identifiable.
That's true, but if you're,
because it's not like somebody's going to go, well, this guy's only wearing a hat.
But it's like when you walk into the stadiums, if you're having a hat, I don't think people are going to go completely idiotic on you. But if you're wearing jerseys...
You think they find the jersey more offensive?
Yes, they do.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know Philly fans more than I do.
And you walk through past the tailgates, and they're all been there since, you know, especially it's a night game.
Endorsement for the Philly fans. Don't wear your own team's gear there. Isn't that part of the takeover, guys? Like showing up in your own team's gear?
Well, there won't be a takeover because they don't sell their seats like they do, especially when they're a good team, the defending Super Bowl champ. It's like kind of in Baltimore. There were Lions fans there, but it was nothing like Washington, where the team stinks.
Okay, so this is not this. You're predicting this will not be anywhere close to a Lions fan takeover.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, it'll be great.
So there's a few things here. One, and we're going to eliminate Ohio State. And if
that was going to be my number one.
Yeah, but if we're,
and I've never been there, but it just, I mean, all the stories.
But you were going to put it number one
because of all the stories that I've heard from personal stories.
And Michigan and Michigan State fans, we're not going to do Michigander on Michigander crime. No. But on the road, when you've gone on the road, who are the absolute best fans to tailgate with that are welcoming and awesome, and you walked away with a great impression of their fan base? And who were the worst fans to tailgate with? And again, we're not doing the Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State stuff, just... Ohio State would probably be the runaway one for the Michigan fan, but are there any others? And because this is for those that have tickets, and if you're going to this game, we want to know, are you heeding Stoney's warning? Are you, Stoney says basically don't wear your gear. Are you heeding that warning?
Or if you're wearing gear and nothing happens when you enter the stadium or, you know, walking into it, do something cool, like buy, and if you're Eagle fans you're sitting next to, like buy them a beer to start. You know, try to get friendly with them.
Start.
Yeah. Sounds like the worst trip ever. I can't wear my gear and I got to buy them stuff.
Well, just try to be personable. Try to get a conversation with them. They have the fans. Fan base has gotten a lot better as far as, you know, everybody, and even Dan Campbell mentioned when we talked to him yesterday. Look, the whole Santa Claus thing is like 80 years ago. That's so old news. Like Scataboo, I mean, you say, oh, big deal. Scataboo, like, fractured his leg in Philadelphia against Giants, a heated rival. They gave him a standing ovation. I mean, they've been much better lately.
All right, 248-539-9797. Who are the best fans to tailgate with when you went on the road? Who are the worst? And we're not doing the Ohio State and the Michigan State stuff. And additionally, if you're going to this game, if you've making the trek to Philly for Sunday Night Football, are you preparing yourself for the worst? And if so, how? If you didn't hear what Dan Campbell said yesterday to you guys, we'll play it coming up because it was something. That at 11:35. Carson Anderson, Stoney's in for Anderson, 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Stoney's in. Stoney had a warning for Lions fans. Mm-hmm. He He says only wear a hat, which I think is interesting. Because I think the point of wearing any gear makes you identifiable as enemy. And but you say you think they'll react worse to jersey wearing fan than hat wearing.
Yes, I think so.
Intriguing.
The psyche of the Philadelphia fan is so bizarre, especially if the Lions were winning the game and the Eagles aren't playing well.
Mm-hmm.
It's night. The people are going to be all liquored up. It's not going to be a pretty sight.
Well, we are intrigued to see if fans are going. If you're planning on going to this game, is there any precautions you are taking? Are you preparing yourself, even if it's just mentally? Look, never engage. Right. No matter what anybody says to me, just don't engage. Or just politely wave and say nice to see you, which is one of my favorite things to say. When
just be nice to, you know, just try to strike up a conversation with the people sitting next to you so they'll like you personally.
You're trying to humanize.
After Amon Ross scores a touchdown and you jump up and down.
Maybe we should be telling them this advice. I feel like they're the hostile ones. Stoney's advice was don't wear any of your gear, buy them a beer, and offer up your wife. Like, what is going on? This sounds like the worst road trip ever. I'm not going.
Anybody going? And we're talking about the best and worst fan bases to tailgate with. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Chris in White Lake. You're on 97.1. Hi, Chris. Chris? Chris, you got to keep your radio down, buddy. We go to JJ next on 97.1. Hi, JJ.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, JJ?
Me and my wife did Arrowhead 2 years ago when the Lions, maybe it was 3 years ago, when we beat them opening day. And we got treated with such respect. The minute we pulled in the parking lot, welcome to Arrowhead, welcome to Arrowhead. We walked a lot. We tailgated. We were all geared up. It was just awesome. And then we reciprocate that. Whenever we go to Ford Field, whoever their opposing team is, welcome to Ford Field. Welcome to Detroit. Glad to have you. It was just so amazing. We were so blessed with doing that. It was just great.
You know, it's cool because you get into these situations where they have their traditions and the stuff that they do. And if they are a welcoming fan base, it's kind of cool to learn about it, right? So
look, like I said, the Philly fan, it's not as bad as it used to be, and it's a vocal minority. Most of the people will be very nice to you.
Yeah, yeah.
But my point is, why take the chance?
We go to Darren in Clinton Township. What's up, Darren?
Hi, two of my favorite guys. I'll be succinct as possible. Here's how you play the away game thing. My first Ohio State game, I wore a black sweatshirt, Stephen Barry's, with a red D, and I wore a red Mackinaw hat that said M on it. So it's a color blend thing. That's how you play that.
Okay.
As far as my brother and I have been to 14 out of 18 stadiums, most of them multiple times in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
By far, the nicest, it's almost like cult-like, would be Nebraska. They'll just stop what they're doing and come up to you. Hey, is everybody treating you okay? Is everything all right? Are you having a good time? It's like at the end of the trip, they're waiting for a van to come to pick you up. It's like a cult, man. It's great. I'd say the worst would be Rutgers. Great golf course. I love Stuff Your Face. But that's the only Big Ten town I've ever been at where at night I take my wallet and take it from my back pocket into my front pocket. That's all I got. Love you guys.
Wow. Appreciate it, Darren.
The mean streets of Piscataway. I've heard this nice things about Nebraska. And it's funny he mentioned what the fans do. We have a tailgate that I go to at the Michigan games, and anytime like Texas fans when they came in, and anytime out of town fans, except for Ohio State, but you always say to them, "Are you having a good time?" I always engage with them.
Good for you,
because I like to find out what they think of us.
Well, like, and you know, I was mentioning the traditions. I don't even really know what this is, and I don't think it applies to me because my guess is there's meat in it. But I guess there's a big tradition in Nebraska called the Runza or something like that. It's like like some sort of beef burrito deal, okay. But it's not a burrito. But I remember fans saying, "Oh yeah, we got the Runza," and I'm like, "What the hell's the Runza?" I guess they do have a thing called Google. I could look it up if I really cared.
I had a good time in Notre, and I can't stand Notre Dame, but I had a great time in Notre Dame. The fans were very polite, very nice, and you know, obviously they know all the history. The worst experience I had was at Madison Square Garden when I was younger. Flyers Ranger game, and I was wearing a Bobby Clark jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And
when you were younger, were you a kid? Were you in college? Were you in your 20s?
I was in college.
All right.
And somebody tried to throw something at me, and it hit my best friend's mother who was sitting next to me.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
By the way, Arunza is a Midwestern bread pocket stuffed with a filling of ground beef, onions, and cabbage, sometimes including sauerkraut and cheese. It is a specialty of Nebraska and is also known as a Byrock or Beerock, with the word Runza being a trademark name for a specific restaurant chain that sells it. So there you go. 248-539-9797. Bill is next. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Doug. Years ago, you were doing the same topic from a bar, a sports bar in Iowa, for when Michigan was playing there. I remember this.
Yeah.
And you put me on the air. But anyway, I would say by far the best fans are Nebraska fans. I used to hate Nebraska, especially after 97,
mm-hmm.
but I've been there four times and they are the greatest people on earth. So I'm a big fan of Nebraska fans. Oklahoma was also very good, but the worst, if you're not counting the two main rivals, I would say is Illinois. I saw a guy who was probably in his 30s with his 10-year-old son. They were wearing matching F Michigan shirts, but the F word was spelled out. That's how bad it was there.
Well, I've had some hostilities taking place in mm-hmm. Illinois. This year when I was at Nebraska, I was walking to the stadium, okay? And I, from the team hotel, it's a 20-minute, 25-minute walk, and I'm walking to the stadium for the pregame. And it's the first time I ever experienced any kind of hostility. And two different people at two different times, 15 minutes apart, started screaming at me and calling me Connor Stallions. And one of them called me a jackass.
Oh, whoa. But is that the same thing, though, Connor Stallions and jackass?
No, no comment there. I'll just say this. As this, and I was like, huh. And I, of course, ignored him and just kept walking.
Right.
And I'm like, this is the most hostile act I've ever experienced at a Nebraska game, and I still will not hold it against that fan base. That fan base is awesome.
All right, what about Penn State? Because I have people who are listening.
Okay, so Penn State used to be the most friendly place ever. Then the whole Sandusky thing took place, and they weren't quite as friendly, and now they're friendly again.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Okay. I remember going to Penn State and going, this really is a happy valley.
I remember I was with you and my sister. We met at the bar before.
Yep. Yep.
The Friday night before. That was 2013.
Is that what year it was?
Yeah.
There was an era there where, and here's what you have to remember. Every fan base has its share
of
a-holes.
Yes.
And if you happen to be in the proximity of them, it doesn't mean the entire fan base is
correct
that way. And so, but they were felt like they were, Penn State fans, my experience was through the heart of the Sandusky scandal, they were not in a great place. And I felt, I felt for the fans because they had nothing to do with it, right?
Right.
I think it's back to being a great, great road trip, fun to go to. Chris in White Lake, you are next on 97.1. Hello, Chris.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's up?
All right, I'm going to go NFL
yep.
for the best and worst. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. So best. Pittsburgh, not even close.
Okay.
Phenomenal sports town, a lot like Detroit fans. I was actually there for the Sam Martin fake field goal game.
All right.
I think that was Jim Schwartz's last season. So that was a heartbreaker. Fans offered condolences, genuinely felt bad for us Lions fans walking out of there. And on the flip side, worst is Chicago. Bears fans, brutal. The stadium's terrible. I was also there for the Calvin Process game.
Oh.
Absolutely miserable walking out of there. As you guys know, there's one way in, one way out. Walking shoulder to shoulder with those fans after that loss was as brutal as it gets. So Pittsburgh best, Chicago worst, not even close.
And the Pittsburgh experience, were you in a parking lot? Were you in neighborhoods nearby? Where were you tailgating?
Parking lot, just kind of around the stadium. But those Pittsburgh people, the Yinzers, they couldn't be better people. Again, blue collar, a lot like Detroit fans. It's a great city. Highly recommend it for a trip.
Chris, thank you for the phone call and thank you for the update. What we have yet to get is anybody going to this Philly game. Nobody has called saying that they're making the trek to Philly. That could speak to a couple things. Ticket availability.
Correct.
Actually, it might be the biggest thing. Although, would anybody say, hey, I'm not... Because we travel, man. This fan base... is standing out in the National Football League.
Also because it's a Sunday night game. A lot of times in the afternoon you can get back for work the next day and you can't
Got sidetracked and apologize. Dan Campbell played in Philly as a player and was talking about the Philadelphia experience and what it's like yesterday on our morning show, and here's what he said.
He loves it.
He seemed to.
Do we have the, by the way, he told the story about what happened when...
Strayhorn?
Strahan, yeah.
Strahan? Strahan, yeah.
Yeah, Michael Strahan, John Different, Silver.
Yes. I don't know if we do or don't, but...
Strahan scored a scoop and score, and he said he got doused with a huge cup of, like, tobacco spit.
Yeah, that sounds pretty much horrific.
Yeah.
But
I gotta say it was none of my relatives. I don't have any relatives that choose tobacco.
Don't you? Yeah. Any of your friends?
No.
Okay. 248-539-9797. Jason in Shelby Township, you're on 97.1. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Great.
I would say the best experience I've had was at Buffalo. That fan base is crazy and they definitely know how to tailgate.
Nice.
And they treat you like one of their own. I mean, I didn't jump through a table or anything, but they definitely treat you like your own. And I will say the worst one I have been to is Miami. They don't really know what they're doing. They just stand around and suntan. They don't really have a great fan base. I don't really know how to explain it. It feels like everybody's on vacation. Nobody knows what's going on. There was, like, no barbecue going on. I don't know how to explain it.
That's funny. Yeah, I mean, So I will say this about Miami, and probably nobody cares about this, but it was the most out-of-date stadium to work in from a play-by-play and sideline reporter standpoint. I can't believe it's still in the rotation.
First of all, the location is awful. It's like between Miami and West Palm. It's near Fort Lauderdale, and it's. Mm-hmm. I was there for a Lions game. And I was there for the Orange Bowl where Alabama missed the extra point and we won the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a good experience, but it wasn't the Dolphin fans. It's the number one team in town. I mean, say what you want about the Heat and, you know, the Panthers and all that. It is a Miami Dolphin town, but when they're not playing well, it's, you know, the weather's too nice. I'm not going to go someplace else.
Let's go to Dawson next on 97 on the ticket. What's up, Dawson?
Hey guys, how are y'all?
We're great. Hey.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in and say I live down here in Georgia, but lifelong Lions fan, and I was able to catch their preseason game against the Falcons this year. And I know preseason stakes are a little lower, so maybe things wouldn't get too crazy there. But I had a great time with them. They were really nice to us, and perfect amount of jabbing back and forth during the game. And you know, that was the game of the Morris Norris incident when he had to get Carter off the field. Ooh. And and they were, you know, they stuck it out the whole time. They hung out, and, you know, a lot of people will still throw jabs when people get hurt like that. But they were really nice about it, and it was a pretty cool experience, honestly.
Yeah, that's cool. I've been at stadium once. I've been there one time, and I don't know where the tailgating would take place around it. But where were you tailgating for that one?
It was they kind of have a weird setup out there because it's right in the middle of downtown in the city, but they've got some like parking lots and stuff sectioned off, and that's where they kind of do a lot of their pregame stuff.
Okay. Hey, thank you, Dawson. 248-539-9797. Lions traveling to Philly. You heard Dan Campbell from the morning show talk about how hostile it was. Stoney had a warning: don't wear a jersey, but you can get away with a hat, and buy them beer and be polite.
Be nice to them.
It's kind of like taming an animal or something.
Yeah, well, there are times that those people are animals. Yeah. None of my friends are animals at all. But Well, my relatives, no, they're not either. But by the way, you were asking who's going. So we checked ticket prices.
Yes.
There are on SeatGeek, there are a pair for standing room for $265 is the cheapest. But anything up upper deck is basically between $300 and $400 of the upper deck. The middle deck is anywhere to $400 to $800. And that's and lower bowl is pretty much the same.
Okay.
So you're going to have to pay a lot of money to go.
It's expensive. 248-539.
There's only 373 listings, which is not a lot.
No, for the whole game?
Yes.
What website is this?
SeatGeek.
All right. That is a small number.
Yes.
Ben is next on 97.1. Hi, Ben.
Hey there. How you guys doing?
Good, sir.
So I went to Philly in 2019. It was like the second or third game of the year and had a blast. I mean, you know, there was a lot of Lions fans there. And I mean, the only bad things that happened to us was, you know, I went with a couple other guys and, you know, people were saying things from a distance, like F you and this and that, but you just ignore them. You know, other than right. that, everybody was really cool. And I mean, we had a blast and I'd be going if we didn't have back-to-back road games. Cause I just went to Washington, but yeah, I wouldn't be shy to go to Philly. I tell that to everybody, you know, just don't like act like an a-hole. Don't get obliterated drunk. And they, you know, I mean, everybody was cool. I mean, we had a Philly fan. We were standing in line for beer. We had a guy buy us a beer because he told him, he's like, hey, guys, why don't you guys go home? I'm like, well, why don't you go home? You're right down the street and we got to drive 9 hours, you know, and he bought us a beer. He bought us both a beer, me and my buddy.
That's funny. Be,
you know. But, you know, you just hold your own. And I mean, everybody, you know, you always got them. Every fan base has them bad apples.
Sure.
You just got to ignore them. I mean, I went to Green Bay 1 year. I've been to Green Bay 5 times to see the Lions play. And what the first experience I had, there was an idiot behind me that dumped beer on me. And, you know, but then the other 4 times, everybody was really cool. And but I will say, though, you know, probably the friendliest fans as a group is probably Minnesota out of all the places I've been. And I've seen the Lions play in 25 of the 30 stadiums. So,
well, Ben, it's great advice to just ignore what people yell at you. As you said, from a distance, you got the F you. And what I always would say to myself and my friends, when somebody yelled something like that, you think about, how is this going to affect me next Thursday that this guy yelled F you? How does this affect me next? It probably doesn't. So carry on. Ignore and carry on. Let's go to Mike next on 97. Want a ticket. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, sir?
Pretty good. I'm going to the game, man. Pretty excited about it.
Are you okay? Did you hear Stoney's warning and did you hear Dan Campbell's warning?
Yeah, I did. I think I'm going to take your advice and just wear my Lions hat and not my jersey.
Okay.
Where are you? You have good seats. Are you up upper deck? Where are you sitting?
Yeah, we're upper deck around the 20-yard line, like 22nd row.
In the upper
deck? So the story is, my buddy's he was supposed to go with his stepdad, but his stepdad is having really bad back trouble. So he's basically given me the ticket for free Airbnb. I just have to supply my airfare. And to be honest, I'm kind of more worried about the airfare than I am the fans, as I have to fly all the way down to Orlando. And then from Orlando to Philly.
Oh, my God.
I only have like a 40-minute layover, too.
Whoa.
That's a weird connecting
flight.
And
the way flights are, because I had a flight canceled last week. Yeah, that's tight.
Yeah, it's, you know, I was told to supply my airfare, and that's really all they have at the last minute. But
drive.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Drive.
I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
Hey, why don't you drive?
You know what? Driving, to be honest, with the layover, I mean, driving would only take like maybe 2 hours longer.
Right.
Yeah. So, probably but you cheaper. Know what? I already bought my airfare, so you know, I'm gonna go with it and hope for the best.
Okay. Well, have fun, Mike, and good luck. 248-539-9797. Let's go to Sydney in Detroit. You're next. Hey. Hello, Sydney.
Hey, I'm so excited Stoney's on today. Welcome back, sweetheart.
Thank you.
I'm headed to Philly. I'm scared to death, not only because of your story recently about your flight, because I've got a flight for me and my daughter, but also my daughter won't let me wear my full Lions hookup. I'm trying to get on TV, and I want to go head-to-toe in a Lions outfit.
Well, I don't want to be sexist, but I think you have a better way. I think a female has a better chance of not getting stuff thrown at her than a male does.
Less hostility?
Yeah.
Really? And do you have a good Philly cheesesteak place you can recommend while I'm there?
Oh, yes. You might have to wait in line a little bit. Angelo's. It's the best Angelo. Now. Yes. And there's other ones and things like that around if you can't get into Angelo's. But it's like a 40-minute wait, but it's worth it.
All right. So you say go for it, wear it.
Yep. Report back, Sydney. Let us know how it went, okay?
All right. Have a great day.
You Thanks. Too. Hostile fan bases. Philly stands out. Are you going? And how are you approaching it from a strategic standpoint to try not to have an incident? In the meantime, we're also praising fan bases that have been welcoming, others that have stunk. It is Carson Anderson. Stoney's in for Anderson. 97.1, the ticket.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.